Amen. Amen. Now, several weeks ago when I was with you, I'm going to go a little slower this time, okay? Several weeks when I was with you, we looked at the topic of is healing for all, right?
Yes.
And we looked into the Word of God and we found out what? The healing was for all, for everybody. We looked at it in the Old Testament. So no matter where you go, if you want to look in the Old Testament, was there healing made available? Yes. When we looked in the New Testament, we find the fulfillment of that healing through the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the New Testament, is healing for all?
Yes.
Okay, so we came away understanding that healing is for everyone. Amen? Now, what I want to do this tonight, what I want to do, if you're taking notes, the topic and the subject of healing is so broad. And sometimes what happens if we're not mindful of this, we can get caught into what I call a pigeonhole over healing, the topic and subject of healing. And some of us think that, you know, we got to wait for the great healing evangelists to come, you know, and I thank God for them, but they got to come and lay hands on me. And if they don't lay hands on you, then really the healing that you were seeking, really probably you're not going to get, because the healing person comes once a month or whatever through your town. You know, some people think that it's got to come this same way. You know, pastor's got to lay hands on me. He got to call it out and I got to come out. Okay? That is not the case. Okay? So what we're going to look at today, we're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to look at what I call seven ways to receive healing. Seven ways. Now, there are probably more, but for this hour, we're going to do what? Seven ways. Okay? Seven ways to receive healing. Or I like to say it this way, or seven ways healing can be ministered. Because I'm coming from this mindset with this class. There are going to be some that are coming here to receive healing, to receive their healing. And faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. Now, if you're healed and whole right now, and you're in this class, then the purpose of you sitting in this class is so that you can learn how to do what? Minister healing. Amen. Everyone got that? So let's go down the line. I'm not going to run too fast, okay? Because that was the last time. But sometimes you know what happens when you have a topic so rich and you only get one shot at it. You gotta go for all the gusto, okay? Let's turn in our Bibles to the first one. Now, once again, these ways are not one. This number one is most important, and number seven is least important. They're all equally important. So I'm just listing them, okay? So there's no real order about them, okay? Everyone got that? So turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. And what we're going to look at is the first one. We're going to stop at the first stop. The first stop that we're going to look at is found in James chapter 14. James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5, verse 14. And we're going to read all the way down to verse 16, okay? I'm reading from the King James Version. If you have another version, please read along with me. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read. Is any sick among you? Let him do what? Call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. How? In the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall do what? Save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be what? Healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the first way in this that we're looking at, the first way to receive your healing is through anointing oil. Anointing with oil, okay? Now, I know sometimes we say, oh, well, the prayer of faith, right? And I know James says, if any sick are among you, which should let you know that there was a possibility that there were some sick in the church. Because that's why he said, if there's any sick among you, what are you supposed to do? Call for the elders of the church. Now, that doesn't necessarily, when he says the elders of the church, it doesn't necessarily mean you got to be in the office of an elder, but someone who's mature. You know, I'm not going to send a novice, okay? You know, sometimes novices, they hit and miss, and they don't fully understand something, and they can get tripped up. So call for the mature persons, okay? Call for the mature saints, okay? Elders in the church, because that's what they were saying, elders in the church, but call for them, and what are they supposed to do? do what? Anoint him with oil. Now, we're talking about means of receiving healing, right? Anointing with oil. Now, many times when I go visit people in hospitals, when we go visit people in hospitals and they request prayer, the number one thing that we do is we anoint them with oil. And this is what I always tell them when I anoint them with oil. I say, see this oil? I said, in this oil, really, I got it from Goya. I got it in a Pierre Cardin bottle. So I want to let them know right off the back. My Pierre Cardin bottle has Goya oil in it. Okay? So here's what I want to understand. The power is not in the container or the oil. But this oil represents a type of the Holy Spirit. A type of his anointing. Now, normally now, I think Brother Hagin said it this way, and it's true. The prayer, we call this the prayer of faith, but anointing with oil. Many times you're anointing someone with oil, sometimes they're not able to respond, or they're not able to, you know, join you in other ones we'll see. So you anoint with oil. Or sometimes it's a new person, new in the things of God, not fully aware of it. So what I always like to do is I tell them when I anoint them with oil, I said that oil is a representation of symbolizing the Holy Spirit, his anointing. So the power is not in the oil. The power is in what we're going to do. Okay? I believe, and as I lay hands on you, that's another one we're going to get into, but we anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith shall do what?
Save
the sick. So the oil helps them to know what? It's a type of the Holy Spirit. It's a reminder. See, sometimes people need a tangible thing. You know, when people are new in the things of this Christian walk, they need something tangible they can hold on to. So the oil becomes what we call a point of contact. So the moment I put the oil on you, I'm anointing you. God says when we anoint you with oil, what's going to happen? The prayer of faith is going to do what?
Save
the sick, or we're going to bring healing, okay? So healing's not in the oil, but healing is in the process of doing the act. Amen. Everyone see that? Everyone got that? So that's one of the things we need to remember. We use the oil as a point of contact for the one seeking healing in their bodies. And this is the other thing I always tell them too. I say, listen, when I go and lay my hands on you, I'm releasing my faith for healing. But when my hands are on you, I want you to release your faith. See, that's what you do with baby Christians, people who are new to the things of God. You want to get them to start to use their faith, okay? So that's number one, right? Anoint with oil. Okay, let's turn over to Matthew. We just talked about it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. We're talking about seven ways in which someone can receive their healing. Amen? Seven ways. Matthew chapter 18. And this passage may be familiar to many of you, but let's pretend like this is your first time looking at it. Matthew chapter 18. Now let's go to verse 19 and 20. Okay, verse 19 and 20. Are you there? Okay. Let's read that. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, what happens? There I am in the midst of them. Now, who's speaking here? Jesus. Now, Jesus is talking about what? He's saying prayer, right? If any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything. Now, I did say prayer, not necessarily praying. If any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything, I'll give you an example. An example of this one. This is the prayer of agreement. We call it the prayer of agreement. One time I was going to go visit one of our people in the hospital, and he requested prayer. So at the end of it, you know, I'm talking with him. How is he? What's he standing against? You know, I'm going with all those things. So I'm getting ready to pray for him. Now, this guy, I'm going to tell you, let me use you for example. You sure. put it down. No, put that down. Now, we're going to agree and pray. This is what this brother did. Now, you pretend you're going to be me, right? I'm going to be the brother that was in the bed. Now, you're going to put both hands to touch me, right? Good, good, good. He grabbed me just like this, and we just started agreeing in prayer. See, it was touching the ground. Now, here's what I'm saying. It didn't have to be that, okay? It doesn't have to be that. But he did that real quick. And when he did that, there was a jolt. Because here's what happened. His faith was he was waiting for someone from the church to come. He knew what the scripture said, but the Lord spoke to him that the person will come and agree with you in prayer, and I'll heal you. So I went in. Next thing you know, I mean, it was a jolt. I mean, I'm not saying, here's what I'm saying. Do never go by what you feel. Feelings are secondary. The main thing is faith. I was just gonna go like this with him, like just touch and agree. Because I always look at, let's touch and agree, you know. I was getting ready to do one of these, man. He grabbed it like that. Thank you so much. But the point I'm making is we touched and agree concerning his healing. I was in faith, he was in faith. Now, the important things about the prayer of agreement, this is very important. You got to listen very carefully. Because I'm talking about whether you're believing to receive your healing or whether you're going to minister healing to people. You're going to have to locate people because not everybody's in agreement, okay? Because you walk in sometimes and say, oh, you know, they request prayer. You request prayer? Okay, so what scripture are you basing this on that I can agree with you with? You see what I'm saying? What scripture are you basing this on so I can agree with you? Some people, it looks like, you know, I was trying to do a pop quiz on them. Oh, wait a minute, what's that one? Remember that one that Pastor Sarah said last week? What was that about his stripes? What was that? What was that, you know? And then you're trying to fish with them. Oh, you're talking about Isaiah 53. Oh, yeah, that's the one. Is that agreement? No. So you see, the prayer of agreement. Remember, what did he say? Go back to the scripture. Touch and agree. Touch and agree. But what are you going to agree about? The symptom and situation? The circumstances? What? The word of God. But now we have to have a word. Now here's what, I want to bring back the scenario. If it's someone that's new in the things of God, I'm talking about someone who's new, fresh out the box, and they may not know things, then what you try to do is you try to bring them. What I do is I share with them what the scripture says. I'll give you an example. I'll use Jackie as an example. Jackie, I don't know if you realize this, but the Bible says this in Isaiah 53:5 when it was talking about Jesus. When he hung on that cross for us, not only did he bear our sins, but he bared our symptoms, our sickness and disease. And by the stripes he bore, we were healed. But you know what, Jackie? It just didn't stop there. Matthew in the New Testament, in the 8th chapter, Matthew chapter 17, it said when evening came, they brought all of them that were sick and demon-possessed to him, and Jesus healed them that it would state what was going to happen in Isaiah 53:5. I said, but it didn't stop there. Peter was one of the apostles with Jesus, right? Matthew was, right? And Peter saw the same thing when he saw him hanging on the cross. He said, our sins he bore, and by his stripes we are healed. We are healed. Okay? So you see, now, Jackie, those three scriptures, do you believe that Jesus hung on that cross for your sin? Do you?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe also that when he hung on that cross, not only did he bear your sins, but he bore also your sickness and disease?
Yes, I believe that also.
Okay, so we're going to agree, Jackie. Notice how I'm taking time with her. We're going to agree that according to Isaiah 53:5, Matthew 8:17, and 1 Peter 2:24, we're going to agree for that concerning your healing. Are you ready to agree with me in prayer? And then she brings her hands. Yeah. And now we touch and agree. You see how easy that is? Sometimes you got to locate people. But you see, you can't go in there like a gangbuster. Yeah. And that's what happens with some of us. I call them Zealot Brother Zebo. Zebo walks in there, and everybody's got to get healed because the power of God's on them, the anointing's on them, and laying on them. And what's wrong with you sitting in that bed? You shouldn't be sitting in that bed. What are you watching on TV? No. Yeah. Cut all that out. The prayer of agreement, right? So we touch and do what? But what are we going to agree about? Not the situation, not the circumstances, but what? What does the word say? Amen. That's very, very important. Amen? touching and agreeing, okay? And remember, with agreement, you got to locate where people are. Jesus did that many times. If you notice in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus always located where someone was. The woman at the well, what did he say to her? He didn't tell her, hey, you woman in adultery and shacking up with that sixth guy who ain't your husband, you know, give me some water. He didn't say it. You know, he didn't say that, right? But what did he say? He said, woman, you know, give me something to drink. And then she ran the line on him. Oh, Samaritans, we don't touch you Jews, right? But then Jesus said what? He said, but if you knew the gift of God and who was asking you for water, what was he talking now about? Living water. So you see, he was locating. He was locating, locating. Okay, we have to locate people. But you notice what Jesus did. He located them, but he always brought them up to where the Father was. You know, when we want to agree with people, we have to agree with what the Word of God says. Remember the man at the pool of Siloam? What did Jesus say to the man at the pool of Siloam? In John chapter 5, there was a man that was he was in that condition for 38 years. And he was at the pool of Bethesda. The pool of Bethesda had five porches. And what they said was, I believe it wasn't what the word records it, but it says an angel would come down and trouble the water. Mm-hmm. Now, I got a problem with that one, but that's for another time. But the first one that got into the water got healed, right? So here's this poor man, 38 years. He's probably seen a lot of people pass him. The water gets troubled, right? But what happened? Jesus walks up to him. What did Jesus say? He said, what do you need? What do you need? And the guy said, I need a man to put me in the pool, right? And then he took it a step further. He said, but what is it that you want? He said, that I might be healed. And what did Jesus say at that time? Stand up. So the point I'm making is the prayer of agreement, right? Locating people. We have to locate people. That's number two, right? Now, number three, turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. The book of Hebrews chapter 6. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 6, 1 and 2. We're talking about seven ways in which people can receive, which you can receive healing. Amen? So this is number 3. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And let's read to 2. Are you there? Let's read. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms and what? And the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, go back to verse 2. Now, look at the second one. It said, and the doctrine of baptisms, right? That's not what we're going to cover tonight. But look at what he says. What else? And the laying on of what? Laying on hands. So laying on of hands is a doctrine of the church. Did you realize that? Did you know that? That laying on of hands is a doctrine in the church. When we go to elevate someone to an office or whatever, what happens? Hands are laid on them, right? So that's the signal, that's to symbolize the transference of the anointing, okay? But now when they're sick or among us, what should we do? Lay our hands on them, right? Now turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Luke Gospel, chapter 4. And let's see what Jesus did. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. The doctrine of laying on of hands, or laying on of hands. This is number 3, laying on of hands. Chapter 4. Now look at verse 40. Chapter 4, verse 40. Is everyone there? Let's read. I'm reading from the King James. Read from your version. And now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And what did he do? He laid his hands on every one of them. And what happened? And he healed them. So you see what happened? The laying on of hands is the way in which, it's one of the ways we can minister healing. Everyone got that? Everyone see that? Turn to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And look at verse 27. We're going to pick up at verse 27. I like this account too. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And we're going to read 27 all the way down to 29. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Now hold it right there. I thought that was interesting. Notice the two blind men. What did they call? What did they say? What did they say? What did the two blind men call out? "Son of David, have mercy on us." "Son of David" was a term. See, in our term, it sounds like, "Son of David" sounds like a name. But for them, it symbolized Messiah. They knew that the Messiah was going to come from the lineage of David. They recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah. So they didn't say, "Hey, Jesus." They said, "Son of David, do what? Have mercy on us." They also knew that healing was an act of God's mercy. But notice what did Jesus ask them? Look at what Jesus said. What did Jesus tell them? He said, "What? Believe that I am able to do this." What do you think Jesus was pulling out of them? Their faith. He was locating them. He was locating them. "Do you think I can do this?" So let me ask this group here tonight, and those listening to this tape in need of healing, do you think Jesus, the Son of God, is able to heal you?
Yes,
right? Okay, we all say that, yes, no problem, right? But now look what the next thing Jesus said, right? He said, and they said, "Yea, Lord." Verse 29, so what did he do? He touched what? Their eyes and said what? "According to your faith, be it unto you." So Jesus, well, laying on the hands, but he touched them. He came in contact with them. But notice what he was doing. Jesus was getting them to get into faith. But then notice what he said. I thought this was interesting. He didn't say, "Because of the anointing that's on me." He said, "According to your faith, be what? It unto you." All right? Isn't that interesting? Now, here's another one. Turn to Mark's gospel, the 16th chapter. Because everyone says, "Well, that was Jesus. And you know, Jesus is the Son of God. He can do anything and everything," right? How many of you heard that? I've heard that a lot. I said that a lot, too, when I didn't know anything. Look at Mark chapter 16, Mark the 16th chapter, and let's pick up at 17 and 18. This is the great commission, right? Now notice what Jesus is saying, because this is in red. It's Jesus speaking, right? He says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they're going to do what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and if they take up any deadly serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, this is what's going to happen. It's not going to help hurt them. They are going to do what? Lay what? Hands on the sick and what? Say it again. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." So in other words, remember we're talking about the doctrine of laying on of hands? So it's not just relegated to the pastor. It's not just relegated to the deacons and elders or the evangelist or the prophet or whoever you want to stick in there. Who's authorized to lay hands?
Believers.
We are believers. Now, let me share this one with you. I remember several years ago when we were living in the Bronx, I was bringing the keys to our apartment to my wife because she left her keys at home. I was bringing the keys to her, and I was getting ready to go to work, right? So I come into the place where she is, the Family Health Center. It's a health center building, you know, like chairs just like this. And when I went in, I noticed something strange. There was two people over in the corner, and everybody in that health center was like shoved over to this side. They were like something was up. So when I went in, I looked. So, wow, that's strange. Everybody's over there, and they're looking this way, and it's just the two people, a husband and wife. So I go to my wife, and she's at the counter, and she's got tears in her eyes. I said, "Sweetheart, what's the matter?" She said, "That lady over there, you know, they diagnosed her with AIDS. She only had a few weeks to live." So she's really weak. She's leaning on her husband's lap. Husband's there. And I'm looking. And I said, "Oh, man, that's bad." I said, "Lord, what do you do about that?" All of a sudden, I heard him say, "I'd go over there and lay hands on her." That's what I heard. But now here's what happens. I said, "Okay, you just don't go over there and lay hands on people." So I said, okay, God, give me a way in. But when I looked at the couple, the husband was there with his wife on his lap, and he had a Gideon Bible. My way in, the Gideon Bible. So thank God for the Gideons, right? So I went over there. I introduced myself. I said, excuse me, I noticed you're reading your Bible, right? He said, yeah. I said, can you do me a favor? He said, yeah, sure. I said, turn to Psalm 107, verse 20. And he turned to that. He sent his word and healed them. I said, also, turn to Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3. He read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and do what? Healeth all thy diseases. Then I said, okay. I said, now, do me a favor. Because remember, this is Gideon Bible. Gideon Bible only has Psalms and the New Testament. See, so you got to know that too. So I said, okay, now go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. The same scripture that I shared here, right? So what was I doing? I was sharing the word so faith can come. Then finally I shared with him. I said, so turn to Mark's gospel, the 16th chapter, the 18th verse. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall do what? Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So I told both of them. I found out their name. His name was Rigel. His wife's name was Yvonne. I said, Rigel, Yvonne, God's word is for you for healing. I am a believer. I can lay my hands on you, and God is going to heal you. Do you believe that? They said, oh, yeah, please do. And I asked the husband, because that's his wife. I said, do I have permission to lay hands on your wife? He said, sure, sure, go ahead. I asked her. I said, Yvonne, do I have permission to lay hands on you? Please do so. Now, meanwhile, this is going on in a place where they're over in the corner, because she's got full-blown AIDS, and everybody's over here. And this is during the time when people really didn't know much about AIDS. So anyway, they're over in the corner. So all of a sudden, I lay my hands on her like this. Now, here's what happened. Once again, I'm not saying do not go by feelings, but this is what happened. A heat, a big heat just came up this way, and it went up my back. I thought it was my nerves. No, because I'm thinking, you know, because, like, you know, everybody's watching. This is prime time. And all of a sudden, the heat just went up this way, came down this arm, was coming all the way down this way, and I'm touching her in the head. And the heat hit her. She jumped back. I said, no, come back, come back. It's okay, it's okay. And then the heat just went boom, right? Now, here's what I'm saying. It had nothing to do with the heat. What it had to do with was faith. So I laid hands on her. So now I got, you know, exchanged some information. I still got to go to work, right? So I told him, I'll talk to him later. He gave me his phone number. So I went out. And when I went out, one of the ladies that was one of the nurses in this health center, old lady, she had tears in her eyes. And she went to my wife, Valerie. She said, who was that man? So, oh, that was my husband. She said, I just, when I saw him do that, I remembered as a little child in Sunday school, I heard about how Jesus would heal the lepers. So one of the ways in which we receive healing is by what? Laying on of hands. That's number three. Everyone got that? Laying on of hands, okay? Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Am I going too fast? I'm asking our sister before. Am I going too fast? We're going all right? Okay, good. I don't want to run too fast. Okay, good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is everyone there? Okay, let's look at verses 8 through 11. Are you there? Now, I tell you what, move up to verse 7, okay? Let's start at verse 7, and we're going to go all the way down to 11, okay? Let's read. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit, what? The word of wisdom. To another, word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing it to every man severally as he wills. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that are one body, Being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, the Spirit of God just quickened this to me. He said, tell you this, that when I just, that account I just shared with you, we just started attending this church. I was not even in the ministry. I was not an elder, was not a deacon, was not in the ministry of helps. I was just a person that came and heard the word, okay? He told me to tell you that because people try to look at titles and think God respects titles. No, not necessarily. Amen? So now here we're talking about the fourth way is through gifts. Everyone say gifts. Gifts of healings, okay? The gift of the Holy Spirit, manifestations. Now, here's the thing you got to remember. Now, we did some teaching on this several years ago. We did teaching on what we call the Holy Spirit and his gifts. So now, what Paul is citing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the local assembly. And one of the ways he will manifest himself is through what? Gifts of healings, okay? All right? So, but here's how it works. That gifts of healings is not, we can't turn that on and off. No one here has a switch to turn it on and off. It's as who wills? The Spirit of God wills. But if each and every one of us are filled with the Spirit, how many of you are filled with the Spirit to speak with tongues? Okay. You don't? Okay, we'll get you. We're going to give that to you. We're going to give that gift to you. But here's what I know. But here's what I want you to raise your hand right now. Say, I believe that I receive the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. So you can begin speaking right now. Begin speaking. There you go. Keep on. There you go. Don't think about it. There you go. There you go. Right? No, you're not making that up. That was your spirit speaking. That was your spirit speaking. Here's what happened. Your spirit began to speak, and your mind says, hey, that didn't come from here. See, because all of our language comes from our thoughts. So without thinking, your thought, right now I'm thinking, my thought's thinking, speak. What you just did, what you just experienced was coming out of your spirit, and your mind says, wait a minute, you're making that up. No, you're not making that up. You got that? Because you believed that you received it by faith. Remember, we receive things from God by faith. Not necessarily by understanding, but by faith. Okay, so I want you to, we'll talk more about that and we'll give it more with you. So the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is as he wills and as he directs. So if each and every one of us are filled with the Spirit, he'll prompt us to do certain things at certain times in the assembly when we're together. Everyone see that? So in other words, it's as he directs, not as I can direct. Now, these gifts of healings works, it will work through every spirit-filled believer, but also they work primarily in a lot of the fivefold ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry offices. Let me put it that way. The apostle, the evangelist, pastor, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those fivefold ministry gifts, the gifts of the Spirit operates through them. Like, for example, I'll use an example, Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn is an evangelist. But they say, oh, he's a healing evangelist. No, the gifts of healings accompanies his office as an evangelist. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin was a prophet teacher. But the gifts of healings and manifestations of healings operated through his prophetic and prophet, the office that he stood in as a prophet. So you see, and then sometimes with pastors, the anointing of healing, the gifts of healing, can be manifested through pastors and even teachers, you know. It can be manifested through all fivefold gifts, okay? So I just want you to keep that in mind, okay? But it's as the Spirit of God directs, okay? Everyone got that? Yes. Now, I don't know if many of you are familiar too much with it, church history or where we are, but a lot of the healing revivals in the 40s was a result of that. It wasn't a result of how wonderful Oral Roberts was or how wonderful Catherine Kuhlman was. It's just that A.A. Allen and all these other people, Jack Cole, they just agreed and worked with the Holy Spirit. So as they were in their office of being, whether it was evangelistic outreaches like Oral Roberts, the anointing and giftings of that the Holy gifts of healings would manifest as the Spirit of God directed, okay? Not as they will, as the Spirit of God directed. So everyone see that? So healing, Number four is what? Gifts of healings. Now, how are these gifts going to happen? Who directs those? Who orchestrates those? The Holy Spirit is as he directs. But guess what? As we gather together, because he knows what the need is, okay? As we gather together, that anointing, that gifting can be in manifestation. Everyone see that? All right, good. And also F.F. Bosworth, he was another one that was very instrumental that God used during those healing revivals, okay? Okay, so now gifts of healings on some occasions would flow through special faith or working of miracles. Now, if you notice here, go back to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 9. Gifts of healing by the same Spirit, right? Look up what else he says. Where's it? Okay. Hold on. I want to show you this. To another faith, right? That means special faith. Okay? Because sometimes certain healings require special faith. Okay? Everyone see that? Now, the fifth one, because we talked about here gifts of healings, right? The fifth one is almost similar to number four, but number five, turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts, the 19th chapter. And let's look at verses 11 to 12. Referring to the Apostle Paul, right? Let me know when you're there. Yeah, Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read it together. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. So this one is special anointings. Now, I know it sounds like the other one. It's not. There's special anointings. In this one, what happened here? What did Paul do? He laid his hands on handkerchiefs and cloths. And what happened with those handkerchiefs and cloths? What happened? But now go back to verse 11. Let's read verse 11. God did what? He wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. See that? So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons and diseases, and it departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. So in other words, what's happening here is special anointings. So Paul, they brought cloths, they brought aprons, anything that came in contact with Paul, because the anointing was there, right? The anointing was there. And anything that came in contact with him, they were able to take that cloth, and from the results of that special anointing on that cloth, people were healed from diseases, sickness, and also demonic activity was cast out. Didn't it say it there? So special anointings, okay? In other words, special miracles were manifested this way, as the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to minister. Now, I always think of this one person who ministered with a special anointing was Brother Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him, but Smith Wigglesworth was an evangelist during the turn of the century of the outpouring of the Spirit of God in the 1900s, early 1900s. He was one of the fathers of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. He wasn't an educated man. He was a plumber. But he got saved and got filled with the Spirit. And he got so full of the Word and full of the Spirit of God that special manifestations would happen. There have been accounts of him where people are dead. One time he took the dead body, went in, slammed it against the wall, boom, thing went down, pick him back up, brought him again, boom, slammed him against the wall, slammed him the third time, the guy's alive, right? But this is the kind of, but that was a special anointing that he had. One of the things he used to always say was dare to believe God. Dare to believe God. He dared to believe God. All he did was just believe God. And God wrought special miracles he had a special anointing on him in the ministry in which he was a part of. Many times he would lay hands on cloths and all of those things because of he traveled around the world. He was from England, but he traveled around the world, okay? Another person I think about that God used to operate with special anointings was Brother Lester Summerall. Now, Lester Summerall was sent to Asia, the Philippine area, the Philippines. And there was a special anointing on him to do certain things. I mean, if you read his books, the things that happened during his ministry in the Philippines, but it was a special anointing, many times special anointings of things that we couldn't even, like, how did that happen? Where did that go? It was just how he ministered. God used that. God uses healing as a dinner bell to get the attention. Then once he gets the attention, then we are to do what? Proclaim the gospel, okay? Another person that operated that way with special anointings, and we've had the privilege to see him minister here on several, many occasions, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. You know, many times in his meetings, you know, he's seeing things, he's speaking things, he's doing things. I mean, I think one time we were in camp meeting, I think 98, we were in camp meeting, and he's at the podium, and he's talking about the Holy Ghost. The topic on that night was the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, he just, boom, went back, and he's a big guy. He went back, boom. And then all of us, don't ask me how it happened, he came right back up and was still going word for word. But that's how he flowed with the Spirit of God. So special anointings followed him. And if you notice in his ministry, it was one of, remember they would pray for the cloths? And I remember he explained it. He said, some people asked him, why not paper? He said, here's the reason. Because God said cloth, not paper. I remember one time somebody tried to come with like a paper from the bathroom, you know, one of those paper towels. No, you don't lay hands on paper towels. And in fact, he said, when you do things like that, it breaks the anointing. It breaks the circle. It breaks the cycle. It breaks the flow of the Spirit. He always talked about the flow of the Spirit. The flow of the Spirit bringing special anointings. Amen? That's number five, special anointings. Everyone got that? Now, the sixth way that God heals or one can receive healing, turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Let's look at verses 25 to 34. Are you there? Let me get a sip of water. Okay. And look at what it says. It says, and a certain woman, which had what? An issue of blood, how long? 12 years. So she had an issue for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had, but was nothing bettered, but rather do what? Grew worse. Look at verse 27. When she did what? When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now hold it right there. The woman with the issue of blood, right? 12 years. Spends all she had. Did she get better? No. Got worse. But what happened? She heard about who? Jesus. She heard about Jesus. How does faith come?
Hearing
what? The word of God. So she heard the word of God is coming, right? But notice, faith came for her, right? Her faith, we can say this, when she heard Jesus was coming, her faith began to rise up, right? But now it was something, there was something else that was, there was something, look at verse 28, what happened? She said, what does she say? Touch his clothes, I shall be what? Whole. Now, I want you to see this. This is where sometimes people miss it. She heard about Jesus. Faith came. Faith came, but she had to do something else. Faith is what? Of the heart. But now she had to take that faith that was in her heart and make it a reality. What was the reality? Her saying it. Saying it. So number six is just say it. Just say it. Releasing your faith. Just saying it. Then what is she saying? If I may what? Touch but his clothes, what's going to happen? I shall be made what? Whole. Did you hear that? She didn't say if I may touch his clothes, I can get healed of this. She said, no, I want to be whole. Right? But now look at this. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation, verse 28. For she kept saying to herself, if I can only touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. For she kept saying to herself, If I can only touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. Now, let me ask you this. Was there healing in his clothes? No. But what was his clothes? A point of contact. She knew, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole, right? Let's keep on reading that account. I don't want to run through this real quick. Verse 29, what happened?
Straightway.
What's another word for straightway? Right away. So right away, you see her faith? If I can touch his hem of his garment. Did she touch it? Yeah. And what happened? Right away, what happened? The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Right away. You hear that? Right away. I always say this. Faith always places demand on the promises and provisions of God. Always use your faith. See, use your faith, not your emotions, not your intellect. Use your faith to appropriate all the promises and provisions of God. Now, look at verse 30. And Jesus did what? Immediately knowing in himself that what? Virtue had gone out of him. Now, that word virtue there means really anointing, power. Someone placed a demand on his power. Now, just to keep this all in this context, Jesus was not walking the street by himself. There was a crowd around him. They were mobbing him. Because remember, he was going to Jairus' house, right? So here it is. He's mobbed by everybody. The disciples are trying to be his bodyguards. They're trying to keep everybody away from him as he's going. She touched the hem of his garment, and he stopped. He said, wait a minute, somebody touched me. And they're looking around and saying, Rabbi, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you, man. There's a crowd here. He said, no. Somebody touched me, right? Let's get back to this. Virtue had gone out of him, right? And he said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you? And you're saying, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her. Uh-oh, look at that. Look at that. There was a crowd. Jesus stopped. He said, somebody touched me. Somebody came in contact with me. And he looked through the whole crowd, and he located her. Smith Wigglesworth said this. I never forgot this. He said, faith will cause God to step over millions, bypass millions, just to reach out for the one in faith. So he located the woman, right? Now look at what happens. His disciples don't even know what's happening, right? And he looked around, seeing her that done this. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came down before him and told him all the truth. Look at verse 34. And he said unto her, what?
Daughter.
Covenant. That's a covenant term. He said, daughter, what? Thy faith has did what? Made thee whole. Go in peace, shalom, and be what? Whole of thy plague. So what was Jesus saying in essence? He said her faith made her whole. Now, how did her faith made her whole? She was just saying. She had to say it. She had to say it. So when those are in need of healing, just keep saying it. Keep saying, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. He bore my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I'm healed. And she said, her point of contact was, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, right, I'll be made whole. But what did she do? She kept saying it. Amen? Now, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, as a young boy, he always gives this account, as a young boy, he had an incurable blood disease. In fact, they were telling his parents, or his mother rather, you know, you might as well get a suit ready for him, because it ain't going to be long for him to live. He's not going to live for long. But he said he got a hold of his grandma's Methodist Bible, and he saw Mark 11:24. And that's the next place we're going to go to. Turn to Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. He said he got it from grandma's old Methodist Bible. He said, it says this in there, Jesus is speaking. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, do what? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have what? Have them. One more time. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you do what? When you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them, and what's going to happen? You shall have them. It's so important for us to understand that. When you pray, believe that you receive it. Now, at that time, Brother Hagin still had the symptoms in his body. His health in the natural still was failing. But he said, I believe that I receive my healing. He meditated on that scripture again and again and again. You know, the doctors tell you, like when you got to go to see a doctor, they prescribe medicine to you, right? They say, take this 3 times a day. Take 1 pill 3 times a day. Now, how many of you are going to take 3 pills 3 times a day? No, right? You're going to do what the doctor said. Because the doctor has already figured it out, and medicine has already figured out that the medicine is only there to alleviate the symptoms of your body. It never heals it. But what the Word of God is medicine to what? All our body. So Brother Hagin believed. He said, I believe I receive my healing. Say that with me. Say, I believe that I receive my healing. Notice, not when you feel like it, not when it looks like it, you have to do what? Believe that you receive. It makes no difference how it looks. It makes no difference what the doctor's report is saying. Bible says this in Isaiah 53, 1. It opens up with this. Whose report are you going to believe? Who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? Whose report are you going to believe? Are we going to believe the report of God? Are we going to believe the report of God's word? We're going to believe his report. Amen? So in other words, so now just to net this all in, we talked about 7 ways in which you can receive healing, or 7 ways in which healing can be ministered. Amen? The first one is what? Anoint with oil. The second one is what? The prayer of agreement. The third one is what? The laying on of hands. The fourth one is what? Gifts of healings. Now that operates how? As the Spirit of God directs, not as we direct. Amen? That's why it's important to come to church, because as he directs, not as we direct. Number 5, special anointings through cloths. Remember how God wrought special miracles through the hands of Paul, that any cloth he laid hands on, people were healed, right? Number 6 is what? Just say it. The woman with the issue of blood, what does she do? She said, what does she say? If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole. So the garment became a point of contact, but it was what she said. Did she have what she said?
Yes.
Right. Why? Because she was in faith. Yep. And the final one is number 7 is what? When you pray, believe that you receive. Now, many times what happens with that one, when we're ministering to people for needs, sometimes they'll tell you this. They toss it on the back end. You know, they always get you the back end on that one. Oh, I want you to pray for, you know, my job. I need a job, or, you know, family and that. Okay, fine. Oh, yeah, and by the way, while you're out there praying, I got something. I got a little something wrong with my back. Let's toss that in too, right? So what we do is this. When you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Now, sometimes what happens with people, you pray for them, right? I'll give an example here, right? I'm praying for you, right? You got neck problem, right? But you just said, agree with me in prayer. Now, we're agreeing in prayer, right?
Yes.
So I put my hands on, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I set myself in agreement with my brother himself. You bore his sickness, his disease, and by his stripes he's healed. I speak to that neck right now, and I command all malady, all inflammation, all anything connected that's not supposed to be in his body to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you
Amen.
Believe that?
I believe that.
Okay, now here's what happened. Some people just go, well, not yet. No, see what I'm saying? You got to believe. When you pray, believe that you receive. Okay, believe that you receive. Even if you have pain in your neck, believe that you receive. And I'll give you a fresh testimony. Just a few weeks ago, one of our brothers was coming to church here. He was coming here, and I was outside, because we service is in here now, so out in the lobby, it's a long distance, and it's quiet out there. So I saw him sitting in the chair, and he looked kind of like uncomfortable. So I went up to say, brother, how you doing? Is everything okay? Yeah, I'm going to sit out here, I came to church, but I'm really not feeling well, and I don't want to disturb anybody in there, so I'm sitting out here. So I started talking with him. I said, so what's going on? He had problems with his neck, right? I said, okay. I said, but you came this far to hear the word, right? He said, yeah, yeah. Now, once again, there's no sound out there, so he wasn't hearing the word, okay? I said, so now why don't we do this? I told him, why don't we do this? I'm going to lay my hands on you, because that's what I was directed by the Spirit of God, to lay hands on him. Laid hands on his neck, agreed with what the Word of God says, command healing to his neck, and he's still sitting there. And then I had to go do something. But when I came back, he was gone. He came in here, obviously. He came in here. A week or so after that, he comes up to me. He says, Elder Bill, thank you so much, man. That's what I needed. You know, my neck was bothering me for a long time. I didn't want to disturb anybody in there. But that's why you come, right? We want the sick to come, right? We want those uncomfortable to come. He said, but when you laid hands on my neck, it started to feel a little bit better. It was starting to feel better, better. He said, and when you left, he said, the Spirit of God told me, receive your healing. He said, and I received it. He got up and came in here. Amen. The point I'm making is this, right, is that God's word works. Yes. Is God, is healing for everybody? Yes. Is there one way in which we minister healing?
No.
There's many ways, right? So what we have to do is we have to understand that there are many ways in which healing can be ministered, not just one way. Now, us, those who are in need of healing, the number one way you are always going to receive your healing is by the word of God. Does everyone understand that? You don't have to wait for Super Saint. You don't have to wait for Sunday, which I'm trying to figure this one out. God, help me. I'm trying to figure out why do people wait for Sunday to get healed when if I'm not feeling well on Wednesday, I can receive healing on Wednesday. I don't have to wait for Sunday. So, folks, don't wait for Sunday. That should be a message, right? Don't wait for Sunday to get your healing. You can receive your healing now. But how do we receive our healing? By faith. Amen? By faith. Amen. Praise God. Are there any questions? Any questions about what I covered? Anything that I talked about? Do you normally have a Q&A at the end of this?
No.
No, you don't? Does anybody have any questions? Going once. Going twice. Okay, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this class. Thank you for what we're learning about healing. Father, thank you that faith is coming. And not just for us, Father. Faith is coming so that we can go out and be effective witnesses to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you that this message that you gave us tonight, seal it to our hearts, seal it to our spirits, and we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'll be back. It's halftime, I'll be back. Yes. Okay, is there a mic here?
Oh.
What chapter are we talking about?
Mark, I'm sorry.
Okay, Mark, okay.
I just found it very interesting that he turned around about to see her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He turned around to see her. So she must have been very close to him to touch his
hand. Could be, but here's what I want us to think about. He's moving, a crowd's moving. It's a big crowd. Everybody's going, he's gone his way to Jairus' house, right? So obviously everybody's looking this way. You ever been around a crowd and a mob moves? She probably, and remember, this is what I left out of the lesson, but you got to remember this. They were still under the Old Testament law. A woman with an issue of blood like that, she could have been killed. They should have killed her. They could have picked up a stone and stoned her because she was unclean. So I believe she found a way. I like to say the way. She found a way to touch his garment. I don't believe she was like it's like the, if they're moving and she came by and got it and it's still moving and Jesus stopped and said, hey, who touched me? She might have been around this. You know, we're not trying to do NCIS, but she was somewhere around this area location. But if you notice, he looked around. Like you said, he turned around and looked. Because even Jesus didn't know who touched him. He didn't know. See, here's what we got to remember. Jesus operated like we are today. He's our prototype. He was a man under the anointing. Because that's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because what? He anointed me. So someone placed a demand on his anointing. On that anointing. He just wanted to know, who was it? But then when he looked, word of knowledge, she's right here. See? And then she said what she said, but I like what he said back to her. Daughter, your faith made you whole. You know, the interesting thing about Jesus and healing, most of the people that got healed under Jesus' ministry, it wasn't even due to him. It was due to their faith. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. So now think about us today. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Word of God is the same. The word of God is not outdated. It's according to our faith. So when we're ministering to people, here's what I want. This is a little B-side, not on the tape. When you're ministering to people, always remember this. First of all, they're in discomfort. The devil's playing tracks in their head about, oh, maybe you wasn't a good Christian. Maybe God is punishing you, trying to teach you things. You know, people go through all these stories. Our job and our purpose is to put people in position to receive. Sometimes it's just a matter of just putting them in position. You ain't got to be the person to lay hands on them. I could care less. I mean, I could care less how people get healed. I could care less how it's done. I care about people getting healed. Whether I lay hands on them or you lay hands, I could, you know, hey, let's go for it. But the bottom line is this. When we're ministering to people, there's many ways. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll show you. He'll tell you. Okay? Yeah, compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, I've seen, we're talking about special gifts of healings. I had an opportunity years ago to serve with R.W. Shambach. I was an usher. How many of you have ever been in the Shambach tent? How many of you have ever been in the Shambach tent? You never? Or just Jackie. Jackie know what I'm talking about. Under the R.W. Shambach tent, it was real. It was real. I mean, it was real. I mean, people come out raw, okay? So anyway, I'm one of the ushers, and this night is healing night, right? So he lines everybody up, right? He lines us up, like some this way. People coming up, right? So this one lady came up with a tumor. You know, it looked like she was pregnant. She was like wearing a muumuu or whatever, but it looked like she was pregnant, but it was a tumor. And I mean, I'm standing right here. We're supposed to be catching them, like, you know how we catch, right? So anyway, he says, and once again, gifts of healings are working. He said, I curse that tumor in this sister's body. You come out, tumor, in the neck. Boom, he hit her, boom, and she doubled back. I said, whoa. I never seen anything like, I mean, he hit her. I mean, it wasn't like, it was like a, and I'm up on the stage, you know, and I heard, and the lady doubled over like this. I said, oh, and blood was, I looked away, right? So anyway, the next day she came totally healed. That was gifts of healings. Now that's something, now listen, I'm going to tell you, that's something you don't work up. You better not try to work up, really, and all this stuff, don't try to work up anything. But here's the thing that we can always do. Every person in here can always do. The word of God always works. I can always pray for somebody. You can always lay hands on them with their permission. Notice I said with their permission. We got people who are so zealous, they want to lay hands on people. Lady don't want you to touch her weave and her hair, and you know. So you got to be nice, okay? Like a compassion, okay?